start out with. We're going to Proverbs, but I want you to turn to Psalm 23 as we get started here this evening. Psalm 23. So we're back into this series tonight on the path of God's will. And we're learning in this series about how to walk in the will of God as a believer on the path of the just that shines with the perfect light more and more to the perfect day. And what we've learned in this series is, here's our outline. If you want to do the will of God with your life, then first of all, you have to walk away from certain things. You have to walk away from sin and sinners and error and ignorance and foolish thinking. But then again, you also have the opportunity as a believer to walk in the light, to walk in a path that is illuminated by some sources of light that come from God Himself. First of all, there's parental instruction, then God's Word, God's personal presence, personal integrity, and godly counsel. And Tonight, we're talking about the path of God's will being a path that is illuminated by God's personal presence. Okay, so how can I walk in the path of God's will? Walk in the light of God's personal presence. That's what we're going to focus on this evening, because one of the most blessed truths of the Christian life is that God is with us at all times. And then He is walking by our side. Wherever we go, whatever we're doing in this world, He walks by our side along that path that shines with that shining light that leads to that perfect day of God. One of the names of God in the Bible is the Paraclete, the Comforter. Specifically, that is the name of the Holy Spirit who comes to the believer, who makes His home with us, who indwells us, and He is always with us. The word Paraclete or Comforter refers to someone who is called alongside to comfort or encourage us along the way that we should go. And so who is it that comes right alongside us to encourage us, to help us make that next step in the will of God for our lives? It is God Himself. And that's the truth that we see here in Psalm 23, a very familiar psalm. But I want to just read the psalm to you. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Folks, in that psalm, we have a picture, a beautiful description of the Christian life that we are, in fact, following a shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. He is the one that leads us. Did you notice the number of times that the word lead is mentioned in that passage? Notice again in verse number 4, it says, "I will fear no evil." Why? Because You, my shepherd, are with me. Our shepherd is with us at all times. Whether we're walking by the pleasant pastures or whether we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, He is always with us. Take a moment to flip back in your Bible just a few pages to Psalm 16. Look at Psalm 16 and this beautiful description of what it means to be a child of God and to follow God in your life. Psalm 16, verse number 8. The psalmist says, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption." Look at verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so there we see again, folks, God is our goal. He is the object of our journey. We have set him before us. Like Hebrews chapter 12 says, we're looking unto Jesus. But not only is he ahead of us, not only is he our focus, he is also our companion on the journey. Look again at what it says. I have set him before me. And then verse number 8, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Where is God? As you are walking down the path of life, he is right there by your side. He is at your right hand. And that is the path where you will find fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. So our faithful Heavenly Father shows us the way to go, but he also walks with us every step of the way, and he brings overflowing joy and blessings into our lives by his personal presence as we walk with him. The psalmist said in Psalm 36, verse 7, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. So God is our light. And because he is with us, he lights the way that we are to go. He shines his light upon our path. The light on our path is the light of his personal presence. And my friend, that is where you will find true joy in this world. That is where you will find the greatest satisfaction. That is where you can have your soul satisfied. Like Kenton talked about on Wednesday night, about the living water of God that satisfies the soul of the Christian. We have his personal presence. Psalm 89 and verse 15 says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. John chapter 8 and verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. 1 John 1 verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. And then, of course, Psalm 84, 11 and 12, it says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Folks, all those verses tell us that the place where God's light shines is the place of God's personal presence. That's also the place where we enjoy sweet fellowship, faithful provision, and the greatest blessings from the hand of our faithful Heavenly Father. And so as believers, our goal is very simple. What I want to speak to you tonight is about walking in the light of the personal presence of God. That is your privilege as a born-again child of God. That is your opportunity that you can have personal fellowship with God every single moment of every day right here in this old sin-cursed world. Folks, you don't have to wait to heaven to get to know God. Aren't you glad about that? But he is with you at this moment, and he wants to walk with you and to know you and for you to know him. And that is the place of light, because he is a God of light, and he shines his light as he walks with us on the path of the just. All right, so that's what we're talking about tonight. We want to walk as close to God as we can so he can shine the light of his personal presence and assistance on our path to guide us in the path of his perfect will. And so now if you would turn your Bible to our text for this evening, key verses for this point of our series, very familiar ones, Proverbs chapter number 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter number 3, verses 5 and 6. This is probably one of the best known passages about finding God's will in the whole Bible. So I'm going to spend quite a bit of time on these verses. Let's read them together, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. In fact, how many of you have these verses memorized? Just raise your hand if you have. All right, so just say them with me if you would, please. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So notice that these verses end with a wonderful promise. What is the promise? It is God will direct our paths. Now notice that that does not say that God might direct our path. It does not say that God could direct our path. It says He shall. That's a promise. That is a definitive statement. And folks, that's what we all want, right? We want God to show us the way to go. We want Him to lead us into that place of His perfect will in the greatest possible light of His personal presence in closest possible fellowship with Himself. That's what we want, and that's what God has promised. But I also want you to notice that this promise is a conditional promise. A conditional promise. As a matter of fact, there are three conditions that must be fulfilled if you want the blessings of the promise to be true in your life. Those three conditions are seen in three action words. These three action words tell us what we must do if we want God to direct our paths. All right, so here are the three action words. Number one is trust. Number two is lean not. It's a negative. And then number three is acknowledge. Those are the three action words. So let's take a closer look here at this conditional promise. All right, so there on the slide, you'll see the three conditions. The first one, key action word, is trust. And the condition is trust in the Lord with all your heart. That first condition is a description of faith, because that's what trust means, right? Trust means that you're exercising faith in somebody. And so this is a description of faith. And so what we learn here is that walking in the path of God's will is a path of faith. It is a path of walking by faith. The Christian life is all about walking by faith. The just shall live by faith. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. It is a path of faith, of trust. So if we wish to be guided by God, we must be confident in Him. And we must exercise faith in Him. Notice what it says, with all our heart. So we're not talking here about half-hearted faith. We're not talking about here today, gone tomorrow faith. You know, the double-minded man kind of faith. We're not talking about some kind of, you know, 50% faith. This is wholehearted faith. Condition number one. All right, so let's get practical here. How can we do this? How can we trust in the Lord with all our heart? Let me share with you four ways to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Practical ways to do this. Number one, we can do that by believing. By believing. Because believing is another word for trust. So, trusting in the Lord with all your heart starts with believing with all your heart that God is who He says He is and that He will do what He says He will do. So ultimately, folks, understand this is a choice we make. To trust or not to trust. To believe or to not believe His word. That is our choice. You know, sometimes I've heard, you know, you might have heard somebody say something like, well, you know, I used to believe, but I lost my faith. Well, what does that person need to do? I'll tell you what that person needs to do. They need to choose to get it back again. Okay, because it's a choice that you make, okay? It's not like, you know, I lost it, you know, it fell out of a hole in my pocket and I can't find it and I can't ever get it back again. No, it's a choice. So you need to make the choice, okay? I'm going to believe, and I'm going to believe in God with all my heart. I'm going to believe that He is who He says He is, and I'm going to believe that He will do what He says He will do. So that's one way that we can trust in the Lord with all our heart, simply by believing. Number two is by praying. By praying, because the word in that phrase, trust in the Lord, the preposition there, in, could also have the idea of toward. And that's kind of an interesting concept. Trusting toward the Lord with all your heart. Okay, that suggests that there is a direction that our faith is pointing, and there is a direction that our heart is seeking. that it is turned towards the Lord, that we are seeking the Lord, that we are putting an active, this is not a passive trust, this is a very active seeking trust, that it is inclining us to seek God and to move in His direction. We're reaching out to Him. We are leaning hard upon Him. And so this means one way that we can do that, that we're seeking Him diligently in prayer. Because prayer is the primary way that we seek God, is that not? That we reach out to the Lord. And so one way that you can demonstrate this wholehearted trust in the Lord is by praying, by seeking after God with all your heart in prayer. Number three, you can trust in the Lord with all your heart by waiting, by waiting. You know, if you're counting on somebody to show you the way to go, then you have to wait for their directions. You know, this happens to me sometimes when I'm trusting in my GPS to show me the way to go. You ever been on, especially when you're on a long trip, you know? We just took a long trip to Pensacola and back. And boy, I just got really frustrated with my GPS because it kept recalculating my route. And it's like, you know, I thought I know the way, I know the way I want to go. There's like four, I don't know, there's any number of ways to get down from here to Pensacola. And I've learned some of them I do not want and some of them I do want. And for some reason, my GPS sometimes just decides arbitrarily, you know what, you need to go this other way. And I don't want to go that other way. And so what do I have to do? I have to kind of get on there and redo it and wait. I have to wait for it to recalculate so I know where to go. Or otherwise, I get lost. So if you're counting on somebody to show you the way, you have to wait for them to give you the directions. So part of trusting the Lord with all your heart is waiting upon the Lord for His direction in His time. And why would we wait upon God in that way? I'll tell you why we wait. It's because we love Him. Because we love Him, we are willing to wait for Him. We're willing to wait for Him to show us His best in His time. And one of the biggest challenges about walking in the path of God's will is this business of deciding, I want to take a shortcut. I want to speed this up. I don't like waiting. Personally, I don't like waiting. I hate to wait in line at Walmart. I hate to wait in line anywhere. Lines are stressful to me. And I will do lots of things to avoid waiting in a long line. Maybe some of you are like that as well. You know, I don't even like waiting 30 seconds for the food to heat up in my microwave. You know, I hit the add 30-second button, and it seems like that 30 seconds takes 30 years. As I stand there and I watch it count down, 30, 29, 28, 27, and I don't have time for this. I don't like waiting for anything. Some of you are saying, yeah, that's me too, okay? I am an impatient person. By nature, I mean, it just runs in my family. It goes, I got it from my Grandma Rickard, I think. You all didn't know my Grandma Rickard, but she was, she didn't like to wait either, okay? My Grandma Rickard back in 1970, she bought this Chevy Nova, and she made sure that she got a V8 engine in it because she liked her car to have some pickup to it. And the reason is because she didn't like, she used to say, I remember her telling me one time as she stomped on the gas, as the light turned green, the thing I like about this car is it's the first one away from the traffic light. I wish you could have known my Grandma Rickard. It was an awesome car, and I wish I still had it, but I don't. But anyway, she didn't like to wait either. I inherited that from her. If I asked for a show of hands, I don't think probably anybody in this room would say, I like to wait. We want it now. But this is one of the tests of proving the will of God. This is one of the ways that we can show that we trust in the Lord with all our heart because we love Him and we're willing to wait for Him to show us the way to go, to shine His clear light upon our path. You're going to be tested in this area if you want to do the will of God. Number four, you can show your trust in the Lord by obeying. By obeying, because real faith believes and obeys God's word. Okay, we must exercise complete confidence in God's promises and in God's commands, and then step out and do what God wants us to do, like our theme for this year, stepping out of the boat by faith. Okay, in response to the call and the will of God. Peter, come to me, walk on the water, and now it's time to step out of the boat. We can talk about having faith all day, but until we take a step of obedience, we don't really have true faith, okay? Until you're obeying God, you're not really trusting Him. Real faith obeys, and so this is another way you can show your trust in the Lord with all your heart. So this is how we meet the first condition: by believing, by praying, by waiting, by obeying. Now let's go to condition number two. Condition number two says, lean not to your own understanding. That is a negative statement that presents a contrasting attitude and contrasting behavior with the first condition. So what we are supposed to do is trust in the Lord with all our heart. On the other side of that coin, what we are not supposed to do is lean to our own understanding. What does that mean? Well, lean means to lean for support, to depend upon, to rely on, to put your weight on something. You know what? That is also a faith word. That is also a description of faith. Because, you know what, if I'm willing to lean against a wall, I have faith that that wall is going to hold me up, right? If I'm willing to put my weight on it, I must have some trust in it. Leaning is also an action of faith. Except here, we're foolishly putting faith in ourselves. We're depending upon our own finite perspective, maybe our personal feelings, our limited way of thinking. But as we've already learned, if we want to walk in the path of God's will, we must walk away from the darkness of error, ignorance, and foolish thinking. So those are things we have to turn away from if we want to have God direct our paths. And please also understand, when it says lean not to your own understanding, we're thinking about the wrong kind of thinking. We're not just talking about sinful thinking. We're not just talking about loving sin. Obviously, that would be included in what we should walk away from and the kind of thinking that we should not engage in. But this might also be thinking that just leaves God out of the picture. Thinking that minimizes what God can do. So let me share with you now four ways to lean to your own understanding. I want to contrast these with the four ways to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay, so what does it mean to lean on your own understanding? One way that you can do that is by making decisions without faith or prayer. By making decisions without faith or prayer. If you're not praying, you're leaning to your own understanding. Okay? You're leaning on yourself. You're putting your faith in yourself, not in God. A prayerless Christian is a self-dependent Christian. A self-sufficient Christian. So by making decisions, how many times do we rush ahead and we don't really consider God? We never really ask Him. We just move on ahead because that's what we want to do. Maybe sometimes we don't ask Him because we know what He would say. And we don't really want to hear what He would say. We don't want Him to say no, and so we just go ahead and do what we want to do and hope it'll all work out. So that's one way to lean to your own understanding. Number two, you can lean on your own understanding by making decisions in a hurry. Not waiting on God, but getting in a hurry to do what you think is best now. That's your own understanding. And that will disqualify you from receiving the promise of the passage. Another way to lean to your own understanding is by making decisions based upon what you think or how you feel. You know, we all have an opinion, and many times we think what we know is best. Did you know that God knows you better than you know yourself? Did you know that there are things that you may think you want that you don't really want? There are things that you may think that you want right now, and oh yes, I know I want that, Pastor. Don't tell me I don't want it, because I know I do want it. But the more mature, godly, spiritual version of yourself will not want that at all. And God isn't so much concerned about what you want today. He's concerned about the very best that He can give you. Which is why, many times, receiving the best blessings from God requires you to wait, because you have to grow into them. God has to grow you to the point that you can appreciate them and desire the very best things that He knows are best for you and the things that you truly want. So don't short-circuit this process that God is doing in your life by thinking to yourself, hey, I don't really care. I know what I want. I want it now, and I'm willing to just throw out the future to have what I want in the moment. You know, there was a guy in the Bible that did that. His name was Esau. Remember what he did? He comes home one day. He's hungry. He's been out hunting all day. And his brother Jacob, you know, clever, tricky Jacob, you know, he knows what Esau's been doing. And he's got this pot of stew on the fire, you know. And Esau comes walking in. Whoa, that is the best smelling stew I've ever had. Give me some of that. Esau says, I'll trade you for your birthright. Esau says, what good is my birthright going to do me if I die of hunger? Go ahead, dish it up for me. You got a deal. How foolish that was to trade away his future for one pot of stew in the present. But how many times do people do that kind of thing? How many times do people forfeit the very best that they could have had in the future for a few moments of pleasure in the present? Don't get into that kind of thinking if you want to prove God's perfect will in your life. Don't just make decisions based on how you feel or what you think right now. Number four, you can lean to your own understanding by making decisions that set aside biblical commands or principles for pragmatic reasons. I've sat with people in my office in the past who have told me very clearly, yes, Pastor, I know what the Bible says. I know what God says in His Word, but I'm going to do this anyway. I don't really care what God says in the Bible. I know what I want, and I'm going to have it. I can't think of a better way to mess up your life. That is leaning to your own understanding. Say, you know what? I don't think God knows what He's talking about. I mean, I know what He says, but I don't care. I don't think God knows what He's doing in my life. I don't think God really knows what I want. I don't think God is fair. I don't think God is going to be good to me. I don't think God is going to give me the very best. And so I'm just going to have to go make it happen for myself. And I've had people tell me that, and I've watched them go out and mess up their lives because they were leaning to their own understanding. And they were saying, you know what? I don't care what the Bible says. I think I've got it figured out even better. You know, maybe you say to yourself, well, I would never indulge in that kind of a behavior. I would never do something like that. But how many times as Christians are we tempted to set aside what we know God says in His Word because the pressure's on, and in the moment, we're tempted to compromise for some end justifies the means type of thing. You know, well, I guess I just have to kind of go along here because I want to, you know, there's something good I want down the road. And so, you know, this is what I have to do to get to where I want to go. And how many times are we willing to make compromises that we know are displeasing to God? We're not trusting the Lord with all our heart. We're leaning to our own understanding. We're saying to ourselves, you know what? I am going to walk in the secure place of what I can see for myself. See, the thing about walking by faith is there's going to be some interesting times where you're going to take a step and you might not exactly know how it's going to turn out. But if you're taking that step in obedience to God's Word and His will, you can be absolutely sure it's going to turn out fine. Just think about Peter when he took that first step out of that boat. Can you imagine what must have been going through his mind as he waited for his foot to land on the water? You know, is this really going to hold me? Am I about to, you know, drown here? And of course that didn't happen because God held him up. If you take steps of faith and obedience to His Word, it may take you to places, it may require you to step out in ways that you might say, you know what, I don't know how this is going to possibly work out for good. That's God's job. Our job is just to trust in Him and to do what we know He wants us to do and not to get into this business of leaning to our own understanding. Because if you lean on yourself, sadly, you're going to find out you're not strong enough. You're not big enough. You're not wise enough. You can't see far enough. You don't know enough. You need the Lord. Okay, so there are lots of ways we can lead to our own understanding. And these first two conditions are really an either or, okay? So if you're trusting the Lord with all your heart, you're not leaning to your own understanding. If you're leaning to your own understanding, you're not trusting in the Lord with all your heart. But if you want God to direct our paths, we have to walk by faith and not sight and not depend on ourselves. And now let's look at the third condition. The third condition is acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. This is critically important because this is where God's personal presence comes in. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Now, if you want to know how to do that, it will really help us to understand that the word acknowledge literally means to know. In fact, you can see the word know in acknowledge. You see it in there? Okay? And so the Hebrew word that's translated here, acknowledge, has the idea of know. Okay, so let me read to you from one of my lexicons defining this Hebrew word. The idea is actively showing awareness of the Lord and His activity and perhaps a desire to experience Him in one situation. All right, so let's read the verse that way. Okay, look at it again. In all your ways, okay, so no matter where you're going, no matter what you're doing, get to know God really, really well. Be aware of His personal presence and be cultivating your personal experience of God, your personal knowledge of God. That means make your personal relationship with God your number one priority. Get as close to God as you can. In fact, since we're talking about walking on a path, we could use that analogy. Walk as close to God as you can. Walk arm in arm with God. Enjoy fellowship and company with God every step of the way. Enjoy close personal contact and communion with God at all times. And then God will be able easily to direct your paths. Let me give you an illustration. Just imagine two people walking arm in arm down the road. Say a husband and a wife, they're out for a romantic evening stroll, and so they're walking close together, arm in arm. Now just imagine that you're walking arm in arm with God. Because after all, He comes to live within you. He's closer to you than any other human being can possibly be. He lives within you. So imagine that you're walking arm in arm with God down the road of life. And then when you come to this fork in the road, it's very easy for God to say to you, "Let's go this way." But if you're not close to God, if you pull away from God so that you can run ahead of God down the road of life, or if you're lagging way behind Him, or if you turn aside to the right hand or to the left so that you're no longer close to God or on the right path, then you might well make some mistakes. Why? Because you're not sticking close to God. You know, when my kids were smaller, sometimes we would take them on hikes at parks and things like that. And, you know, I often found myself saying to my kids, come back here. because they get way ahead, you know, out of sight. I don't know where they've gone. I don't know what path they went down. Or they might be lagging way behind me. And so I have to say, hey, keep up. Keep close to Dad. Why? Because I want to keep my eye on my kids. I want to be able to supervise them along the way. I want to make sure that they don't get lost. I want to make sure that they don't make a wrong turn. And folks, that's what God wants to do for us as well. But if we want to benefit from His direction, we have to stay close. We have to be there close to Him so that we can hear His voice and we can receive His guidance for the road ahead at the right moment. Several years ago, I preached a whole series about walking with God. We went through and we talked about all the people in the Bible of whom it was said, you know, that person walked with God. And we learned what it means to walk with God. What does it mean to walk with God? It means to spend quality personal time with Him every day. It means that you are maintaining a close personal connection with Him throughout the day. It means that we're, you know, being filled with the Spirit, we're praying without ceasing, we're abiding in Christ, all of those biblical descriptions. That's what it means to walk with God. And that's what we're talking about here in this passage as well. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. Walk close to Him. God delights to walk close who delight to walk with Him on the path of the just. But you know what? The other side of that coin is God has no interest in walking in fellowship with people on the dark way of the wicked. God doesn't go that, He doesn't want to go down that road. Okay, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 9 says, "The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but He loveth him that followeth after righteousness." So God loves the path of the just, and He loves those who follow the path. So if you want to walk in the light of God's personal presence, then walk where God loves to walk. Walk in righteousness, close to God's side, know Him and trust Him, and then follow where He leads. So I'm going to be speaking again from this passage. I'll give you some important principles of knowing God's will and some specific ways that God directs our steps. For tonight, I just want to make one application from these verses, okay? So one more principle. This is number 24 in our running list. This principle right here from the passage that we have studied tonight. If you want to walk in the bright light of God's leadership, cultivate a close walk with God, believe what He says, and follow His directions. That's what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is talking about. Cultivate a close walk with God, believe what He says, and follow His directions. Look again at the promise. See again the process. Three conditions leading to one glorious promise of God's direction. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Know Him. Know Him well. Walk close to Him. And then, the promise, He shall, not might, not maybe, not could, He shall direct your paths. Let me just ask you a few questions. Are you meeting the conditions tonight? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. By faith, are you making the choice to believe with all your heart that God is who He says He is and that He will do what He says He will do, that His word is true, that He is faithful, that He will honor His promises and His word? Are you seeking Him fervently in prayer? Are you waiting for His direction and His time instead of rushing ahead to do what you think is best in the moment? Are you obeying His known will in the word to the best of your ability? That what you know He wants you to do, are you striving to obey Him? Are you refusing to take matters into your own hands based on your own limited perspective? Are you and not insisting on having things your own way? And then, put a big star by this one, are you knowing God well and personally in all your ways? Could it be honestly said of you that you are a believer who walks with God? That you know Him, you spend quality time with Him, you're in constant contact with Him throughout the day, that you're in fellowship with Him? Or are you running ahead of God? Or are you lagging behind? Or are you turning aside? Pursuing God's will starts with pursuing God Himself. Understand that. Pursuing God's will starts with pursuing God Himself. You're never going to leave God out of God's perfect will. He's going to be in the center of it. And He wants to be in the center of your life. And if that's His place, if that's how you're honoring Him, then He'll be able to guide you into His perfect will. Psalm 37 and verse 4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Oh, we love that verse. We love that promise. That sounds great. God's going to give me the desires of my heart. Ah, but understand, first you delight yourself in the Lord. You make God the desire of your heart. You seek Him, and then He is able to give you those things that you really want. Not the things that you think you want in this moment, but the things that He knows that are best for you, that you will truly desire in the long haul. Folks, the good news is God has promised to guide us personally into the path of His perfect will. But if we want to benefit fully from His directions, we have to meet the conditions. And so look at our verse one more time. You can look in your Bible. You can look up here on the slide. And I tell you what, just say it with me again, all right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Let's bow our heads. In a moment, we're going to close the service with a song, number 433, Show Me Thy Way. Great prayer of asking God for His direction. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm just wondering, believer, how is God spoken?